This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
You know what starts in, gosh, what, 2 weeks? High school football. Let's start practice. Starts this week. My kid starts soccer practice. I guess it's tryouts on Monday. But he's in eighth grade, so not that big a deal. Or maybe it is. Nick Stevens, speaking of big deals, a huge deal, joins us from highschoolot.com. You can subscribe to their newsletter. And if you're watching on TV, there he is. Nick, what's up?
How's it going, Adam? And by the way, tryouts are always a big deal. Doesn't matter what, what grade level.
Yeah, that is true. Eighth grade, a lot of pressure on these kids to make the team so their parents can plan, you know, scholarship visits and all of that. All right, let's get right to it. Give me a sense for, like, the level of football, high school football in the state of North Carolina now versus, say, I don't know, 5 or 10 years ago.
I would say the state of high school football in North Carolina has grown exponentially in the last decade. You look at the amount of talent coming out of our state, and back in the day, it used to be that we were talking about how all the talent left the state.
Right.
And that's not necessarily the case anymore. I mean, NC State and Carolina have both done a very good job recruiting in-state lately. There's other schools that have done the same, but we're seeing a lot of our top talent stay. And then if you look at how they progress through college and get to the NFL, we're seeing a lot of them have success at that level too. And I think that speaks volumes for where football is in the state of North Carolina today. For sure.
Nick Stevens is joining us here. All right. So if we had was it a week, 2 weeks from tomorrow is the start of the season? Is that what we're talking about?
So the season has started.
We haven't had games yet, have we?
The first week of games is in 2 weeks. August 19th will be the first Football Friday in High School OT Live. There'll be some games that Thursday night too. But we got a lot to do before then. We've been out at practices all week this week, just kind of making the rounds. And obviously the summer we were at 7-on-7s. Next week we'll be at scrimmages. So it's getting more and more real when we're talking about the football.
All right, Roseville High School, which is a little bit north of the city, north of Wake Forest. I know they've got some good players, including the number one player in the state, who did manage to escape the fence that was built around the North Carolina borders and go to Ohio State. Are they arguably the best team, or do they just have some great players?
They're going to be one of the best teams for sure. They will have an argument for the preseason number one spot when preseason rankings come out next week. Noah Rogers is the guy you're talking about, 6'2 wide receiver. He's a 4-star player, number one player in the state, number 6 wide receiver in the nation going to Ohio State. And he is very, very good. I mean, he makes Dennis Cox can tell you he's seen some of these games from Roseville, and he makes some of the most incredible catches I have ever seen a high school kid make. In fact, I was talking to a head football coach at another school here in Wake County who has had to coach against him, and he said he's coached for a long time. He said that's the first kid he's ever looked at and said that kid's going to play on Sunday.
Really?
When he was in high school. I mean, some of the catches he makes are really, really amazing. Roseville also has Tamarcus Cooley, who plays both sides of the ball and on special teams. He's a return specialist too. He has committed to NC State. They've got some real talent up there at Roseville. In fact, Tamarcus is on the TJ Thorpe Show today.
Right.
Which dropped this morning on High School OT. Good interview where he's talking trash to the UNC guy, TJ Thorpe, in that one. So NC State fans might want to go watch that.
We spoke to TJ Thorpe about 2 months ago. TJ is a sharp dude, man. I think the whole thing is just fun. I hope that show continues to grow. Nick Stevens, High School OT managing editor, is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. Give me a few teams to watch, and then we'll get into conferences and players as well.
Well, you know, around the Triangle area, I think a lot of people are going to be watching Roseville. They'll be watching Cardinal Gibbons, the defending 4A state champion.
They'll be mad at Cardinal Gibbons, Nick. Well, we always know that, right?
People are always mad at Cardinal Gibbons, yes. But they should be very good again. Millbrook's got some talent as well. Nathan Leacock, a wide receiver for Millbrook, has just committed to Tennessee a couple weeks ago. He's a very good receiver for the Wildcats, and I think that they're going to be very strong again this season. You know, you look at Charlotte, and I think there's going to be a lot of attention on Chambers. Kevin Concepcion, the wide receiver there, is back. They did lose their running back. Dalen Smothers, he transferred from Chambers, but they're going to be in the conversation again to make it back to the state championship. I think that'd be the third or fourth time in a row. That COVID season throws me off. I always forget how to count that one. I've also got COVID brain. I had COVID a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, it's just not all back yet. But they're going to be a team that I think a lot of people are watching from the western part of the state. Reagan, Grimsley, those two teams in the triad, I think, are going to be two that a lot of people are watching. Very talented there. And I tell you, one of the games I'm most excited about in week one is Rocky Mountain at Tarboro,
okay,
in the eastern part of the state. I think that's going to be a real fun one between two traditional powerhouses.
Since you brought up essentially one of these early season games, before we get into conference play, what are some of the other non-conference battles that we might be interested in?
So, we mentioned Cardinal Gibbons. They're going to play Chambers the first Saturday of the season on the 20th. That is a rematch of the 4A state championship game that Cardinal Gibbons won 14-2 last year in the rain at Carter Finley Stadium. And they had also opened the season with each other last August at Cardinal Gibbons. In a game that ended at 1 a.m. that I know Dennis remembers very well also. They were both great games. So I expect that's going to be a real big one. It's a national game that being played in Rock Hill on Saturday. So that'll be a real fun one that I know a lot of people have circled. I'm interested in seeing some of these Roseville non-conference games. They are going to have to replace their quarterback from last season, Byron Brown, who was really, really good for the Rams. He's at South Florida now. They've got talent, but that quarterback position is obviously really critical when you're talking about talented wide receivers. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested to see them, and they have some tough non-conference games early on, Pinecrest, East Forsyth. A couple of those.
Even I recognize those names. So you're telling me that Gibbons and Chambers from Charlotte are going to play in South Carolina?
They are going to play in South Carolina, in Rock Hill. I don't know if Tepper has something to do with that or not.
There's nothing there. David Tepper has no interest in South Carolina now. So we can't even build a wall to keep the games in the state, Nick Stevens. All right, which conferences do you think among like the best teams are going to be the most hotly contested?
The NAC 6 conference in the northern part of Wake County is the one that everybody's going to be talking about at first. They've got Millbrook, like we mentioned, some very talented players there. They've got Roseville. They've got Heritage, who has NC State recruit Lex Thomas at quarterback. They have Wake Forest, who is Wake Forest. They have Wakefield, they have Knightdale, both of which are bringing back very talented quarterbacks and some experience on offense. So that conference is going to be really, really fun. It was a three-way tie for the conference championship last season, and we could definitely see something like that again this year because there's going to be a lot of parity.
All right, three quick questions. You can go as long as you want with these. Give me the best team or two at the beach.
Ooh, best team or two at the beach. That's a tough one. I think New Hanover is going to be back up, a little bit better than they were last year. I think that they're going to – some of that experience that they have back is going to be beneficial. We were just down in Craven County not too long ago, right when I caught COVID, to talk to New Bern and Havelock. They've got some real good players on those two teams, obviously two perennial powers as well. Yeah. Javonte Vereen is a tight end at Havelock. He's committed to NC State. KJ Sampson is a defensive lineman at New Bern. He's committed to Florida State. And so, you know, I think both of those teams are going to have a lot to say about what happens this season as well.
Same question about the triad. I know you already mentioned East Forsyth, but who else?
East Forsyth is going to always be in that conversation. They got a great program. I think Reagan is a team that has a lot of talent this year out of Forsyth County. And Grimsley, definitely a team that is going to have a chance. Jamal Jarrett, very talented player there. And Dudley is a defending state champion and also a perennial power. So I think that's another team.
All right. Now, final thing. We got mountains, too. We got beach. We got mountains. We got everything. What about up in the hills?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I have not gotten up that way yet this season.
All right.
So I have not seen anything with my own eyes up there. You know, but there are some traditional powers in the mountains as well. I think we're going to hear from. I will say one of the stories that I think we're going to hear a lot about from the mountains this year is Pisgah. I don't know if people listening remember, but there was a really bad flood in Pisgah last fall. It wiped out the stadium, the football stadium at Pisgah High School. And they've had to rebuild it and everything since then. They're not going to be able to play at home at all this year, potentially, which will be the second straight year they have played every game on the road. And we're actually planning a trip up there to do that story here soon. But I think that's going to be something we'll hear a lot about this year in the western part of the state.
All right. Subscribe to the newsletter. Follow Nick Stevens on Twitter.
Download the app.
And yes, download the app. Get all of it.
Yes.
Because and watch the TJ Thorpe show. Nick Stevens, managing editor, highschoolot.com. You're a machine. Thanks, man. Adam Gold here from my man, Coach Pete DeRuta with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. All right, Coach, simple. When do we start tax planning in retirement?
We should start as soon as possible because here's one thing, Adam. Taxes are not going away.
Right.
And so the game here is we know the rules. A lot of people want to ignore the rules or act like they aren't familiar with them, but the IRS knows the rules. And so when we get to retirement, they're going to reach in and start taking some of their money out of your accounts. So the secret here is to put a force field around as much as possible by strategically moving some of our money to Roth IRA or some of the other vehicles that aren't taxed, like special life insurance policies. You can borrow against your money there and never have to pay tax on your money that you build up inside your cash value. So there are a lot of strategies here. The one strategy that does not work is ignoring it. So let's make sure to not ignore it. The next 10 people will do for you your very own tax and retirement plan that'll help you minimize taxation all the way through retirement.
800-661-7383. All you got is call, or you can text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuta. 1984, I believe the date was September 24th. Simon and Garfunkel had not appeared together for a long time. Mm-hmm. Simon was already well into his solo career that was killing it, and Garfunkel really didn't do much as a solo act, but they reunited for a free concert in Central Park, New York, again, September of 1984. And I was there. It was 84 or 80. Gosh, now I don't even remember.
It's younger than Tom Brady,
yes,
though.
Yes, it is younger than Tom Brady. But there were well over 100,000 people there.
Yeah.
It was a massive scene. You can buy the DVD. You can. I mean, there's an album.
They made those
then. They did, but you can actually. Did they make a DVD? Maybe not a DVD. No. Might have been a VHS.
Yeah,
it's available on DVD now.
Nice.
But it was a great concert, and I remember a lot of things about it, including Paul Simon talking to the crowd, which was kind of funny. But the encore was a song they had already played. How
nice.
The weirdest thing. Like, didn't we just hear this? Like, yeah, we only prepared this many songs. Like, really? That's where we're going.
Okay.
All right. So we got Late in the Evening twice.
There you go.
Very nice. It was a Paul Simon song. All right. I don't know why I brought that up other than it's a Simon and Garfunkel Wednesday. So let's go to Jacksonville, shall we?
No, we've already been to Jacksonville.
No, I'm sorry. We did Jacksonville yesterday.
Yeah.
Why do I get Glendale and Jacksonville confused?
Because no one wants to go there?
To both places.
Exactly.
There you go.
So, yes, Jacksonville was yesterday.
Yes, Glendale.
Before that was Tampa, then Indy, East Rutherford, Philadelphia. We started in Cleveland. So now we're actually going to the Southwest today. To Glendale. You know, when you're in Glendale, Again, we're not in Scottsdale. We're not in Phoenix. Glendale, where the Cardinals play. Westgate Entertainment District is a spot in Glendale where it's a little something for everybody. They got different restaurants, bars, shops, activities for kids. They also have live music on Fridays and Saturdays. So if you ever find yourself in Glendale and you're not entirely sure what to do, but you want to go out and do something, head to the Westgate Entertainment District because there's a little something out there for everybody.
Very nice.
So check that out. Also, the Arizona Doll and Toy Museum is located in Glendale.
The Arizona Doll and Toy Museum.
Yeah, so if you want to look at creepy dolls, that's the place to go to.
Chucky there?
No, Chucky's just evil. Other dolls can just be creepy.
Okay.
There's a difference between the two.
That is true.
Also, a good time to go around Christmas. So the historic downtown area of Glendale, which is just weird to say, but the historic downtown area of Glendale, about 16 blocks of...
Historic Glendale?
Yes, historic Glendale. It's about 16 blocks. Okay. They use approximately 1.5 million lights during Christmas.
1.5?
Yeah, 1.5 million lights downtown in Glendale. So it's a good time to go if you want to see all that good stuff.
So have you ever been to Glendale or Phoenix?
I want to say Scottsdale.
Okay, well, Phoenix is the main city.
Yes.
Glendale is a suburb about 9 miles to the northwest.
Mm-hmm.
Scottsdale is a suburb about 9 miles to the northeast.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of a triangle there. We stayed in Phoenix.
How dare they take our triangle?
I know. We stayed in Phoenix. We were there for the Final Four. The arena was in Glendale.
Mm-hmm.
And we hung out, for the most part, in Scottsdale. Uber won.
I'm sure they
did. Uber was the big winner. Scottsdale has a collection of really cool places. It's a hotbed of minor league baseball.
Scottsdale?
Well, that area.
Yeah.
That area of Arizona.
The Cactus League.
And now about half the teams train in Arizona. It used to be there were like six teams in Arizona and everybody else was in Florida. But now it's about 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, I don't know. Maybe it's dry heat. I have no idea.
I don't know.
But it was cool to be out there. There's so many minor league teams that train probably within a 30-mile radius.
Yeah.
So very, very cool.
You also have the Arizona Fall League.
Absolutely.
For baseball, for a lot of minor league players to go play and continue to develop. So, yeah, maybe after the Arizona Fall League, stick around for Christmas to see the 1.5 million Christmas lights that they put up. It's a great time to go. Also, something I know we're not talking football, but something you can do football season. There's a restaurant out there called Jimbo's.
Okay.
Jimbo. If your name's Jimbo's and you're a sports bar, which is what it is, you know they have good food. So on Sundays, they have free breakfast on Sundays. Now you have to buy refreshments, of course, to get free breakfast. But still, you buy some refreshments, you can eat free breakfast, and because it's West Coast time, you can sit there and eat breakfast and watch the 1 o'clock kickoffs and still be 10 a.m.
Absolutely.
Out there in Glendale.
See, that's the best part about Pacific time.
Yeah.
Like, one of the reasons... why I love watching the Open Championship is because you wake up and, my gosh, it's on.
Yeah.
I don't have to wait. It's here. I love that.
So, yeah, you can do that at Jimbo's. By the way, if you're at Jimbo's, you know the bacon has to be good.
It should be.
Yeah. They're open 7 days a week from 8:15 to 11 p.m. So 8:15 in the morning to 11 p.m. It's a sports bar that does breakfast. That sounds amazing.
Very nice.
Also, check out the Glendale 9 Drive-In Theater. They had a drive-in movie theater out there in Glendale.
Really?
Yeah.
What year is this? The drive-in?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, drive-in theaters are very underrated and very underappreciated, by the way. I love a drive-in movie.
They're so fun. I don't think I've ever been to a drive-in.
Yeah.
I have been, and I know we do this here in Raleigh, at the North Carolina Museum of Art. At least they used to. I don't know if they do it anymore. But movies outside.
They still
right?
do it.
So when I was a kid growing up, where we used to hang, go in the summers. This kind of, you know, really called a bungalow colony.
Yeah.
Up in the Catskills. They used to show movies Friday nights on the side of, like, the big general store, right? And, you know, a few hundred people would go, put blankets out, sit on the hill, and watch movies. And the Woody Woodpecker cartoons would be before the movies.
Yes.
That's where I grew up with Woody Woodpecker.
I used to watch Woody the Woodpecker.
And Wally Gator.
I don't know who that is.
It's part of the Woody Woodpecker family.
Oh, is he?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I definitely remember Woody the Woodpecker, though.
Yes, Woody. There were two Woody Woodpeckers. There was Woody Woodpecker. The original was freaky looking. And then there was a more friendly version of Woody Woodpecker. Although, again, Wally Gator would dispute whether or not Woody Woodpecker was friendly.
Okay. I'll take your word on
Thank
that.
Thank you.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
By the way, if you want to, check out a drive-in. There's a drive-in at the Caraway Village out in Chapel Hill. And there's also on Raleigh Road in Henderson, North Carolina. There's an outdoor theater up there. So definitely still worth checking out. Also, final thing here, if you want to make sure in the morning, if you're not going to Jimbo's, or you want a sweet treat after eating breakfast at Jimbo's, make sure you head over to Danny's Donuts.
Danny's
Apparently
Donuts.
Been around for over 20 years. You know they're good because they don't have a website. So you know it's good.
The menu on Facebook.
Exactly. Exactly.
Just get a website.
No, you don't need a website.
It ain't that hard, man.
No, word of mouth, man.
It ain't that hard to
have
a website.
If you've been established for that long, you don't need a website.
Yeah, give me a website.
An Instagram account, at least.
Something. Something so I could find you.
So, yeah, that's our tour of Glendale. Next city we have coming up tomorrow will be Las Vegas.
Oh, man. Can I just say, because I'm not going to be here tomorrow?
Yeah.
I've been to Las Vegas twice.
Okay.
Okay. I think, first of all, the shops at Caesars.
Okay.
Go there. It's very cool. It's a mall. And the ceiling of the shops at Caesars is a sky.
Okay.
And depending on the time of day, the sky, the ceiling of the mall will reflect what time. So if it's daytime, the ceiling will be daytime. Wow. Nice blue sky, clouds. If it's night, stars.
If it's raining, do they put clouds and stuff up?
Both times I was there, the weather was normal, so okay. I don't know that is the case one way or the other. The shops at the Venetian or the Bellagio, those are a little higher end, but the shops at Caesars, that's where I saw Pete Rose. Both times I was out there, signing autographs in front of a memorabilia shop.
Oh, okay. I was just saying, did you catch them betting on the Reds?
No. Giant line. Well, it was Vegas, right?
Yeah.
Giant line waiting to buy something so Pete Rose could sign it.
Interesting.
He would only sign things if you bought it.
Yeah.
He didn't. If you came up and you had a Cincinnati Reds program, nope, not signing it. Hmm. Did you buy something in here? Yeah, I'll sign that. So I saw Rose there both times. Also, there's a stage deli in that mall, in the shops at Caesars. And you can get a pastrami sandwich, an authentic New York pastrami sandwich, for an authentic New York pastrami sandwich price of about $20. But you can't get your mouth around the sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
No chance that your mouth will open wide enough to take a bite out of the sandwich, middle of the sandwich. You can get the end. That's about it.
All right.
So I recommend the shops at Caesars and the M&M store. I love the M&M store.
Okay. The M&M store.
Yeah, go to the M&M
store. All right.
Store.
So Vegas is tomorrow. On Friday, as I pull a city out of the only thing that this Dunkin' Donuts cup is good for, is pulling out the next team.
I don't understand why you're slamming Dunkin' Donuts at every turn here.
Because
we're
in North Carolina, we eat Krispy Kreme.
We have Dunkin' Donuts here too. There's two Dunkin' Donuts that I pass on my way here.
But Krispy Kreme's better.
Dunkin' Donuts, superior coffee. Does anybody get the superior coffee? Okay. Not to mention more options for you at Dunkin' Donuts. Much more options.
Yeah, but Krispy Kreme donuts are better. Yeah, they are. It's okay. It's fine.
Not real donuts, but that's fine.
It's fine.
Two each.
Support North Carolina.
Two
each. All right, next city, this we'll have on Friday. We got the Seahawks, so Seattle.
Oh! We should just call Forza.
We should call Forza.
Call Forza.
We're just going to bump with Pantera and something. Jimi Hendrix.
Cobain. Bump with Kurt Cobain.
All right. Alice in Chains.
There you go. We have Nirvana, right? You could just do that.
Yeah.
Isn't that true? All right. Well, so tomorrow is, what is it again?
Vegas.
And then Friday is
Seattle.
Very cool. And I'll be back on Monday, and so I won't miss too much.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.